the first study today or meeting. We're going to have a time of fellowship, question and answer with the Bible. And I'd like to begin by reading a note that came from Kerala, India. And this person writes, "Hello, friends. I am really amazed or surprised to hear that the world is going to end up on May 21, 2011. Who are you to predict like that? Did the human beings grow powerful than the mighty God? It is said in all religious books, without any bias on religion, that only God can say the exact day when the world ends. Even prophets don't know. So how can you be superior than all? I want a correct reply for this. If I believe in my God, and if you had created such a meaningless calculations." And then he says a little bit more I don't really understand, but I think we get the point that this person is writing and saying, now who are you? And he's talking to the true believers that are sharing this information to the world. Who are you to say May 21 is Judgment Day? And how can you dare to say that? Some people say that too when they look at Mark 13:32. Look, the Son doesn't know. And so how dare you assume that you know more than the Son of God, than Christ Himself? And of course, we've learned that the Son in Mark 13:32 isn't referring to Jesus, because God knows all things. And so that's not a problem. But the point is, they say, how can you know this? Only God knows it. And that's exactly the point we keep trying to tell people. Yeah, we don't know anything. Anybody here know what's going to happen tomorrow? I have no idea. You know what's going to happen the rest of this day? We might have an inkling, but we really don't. And that's why people say, hey, you're taking a risk. You're really taking a big risk, because when May 22nd comes, then you're going to look stupid. You're going to have egg all over you. But there's no risk. There's zero risk, because it's coming from God, who knows the future and as well as the past. He is everlasting God. He knows the end from the beginning. And there's no risk at all, because we trust His Word, which is has an eternal perspective. Well, I think the problem is people don't understand that the Bible is the Word of God, that this book is capable of warning us. Like, for instance, in Hebrews 11, it says in verse 7 about Noah. By faith, Noah, and who can we substitute in Hebrews 11 when we read about faith? Christ. Because He is faithful, true. He is our faith. And all through Hebrews 11, it says, by faith this, by faith that individual did these things. And it means by the power of Christ, by the power of God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He moved with fear to the preparing of the ark. And people understand that. And we look at Noah and we realize, you know, he was an obedient man, a faithful man, a man of God. even mockers today, even people who say you can't know that Judgment Day will be on May 21, they would recognize, yeah, God spoke to Noah. God warned Noah. And yet they would say, but God hasn't warned you. He hasn't come to you like He did come to Noah. And that's the thing, that's the problem area. It's true. God is not coming to us in a similar way, because He's closed up the book. He completed the book, the Bible. And He won't add or subtract from it. So He can't speak to us audibly or through a dream or a vision or a tongue. He can't communicate with us that way. But it doesn't mean he can't communicate. It doesn't mean he can't tell us things and declare things to us. It just means he'll do it in a certain way, which is through the Bible. And that's the problem people have. You know, it's far better that God is telling us through the Bible rather than just telling one man, like Noah. You know, well, people say, well, only Mr. Camping, right, today? And, well, no, because Mr. Camping is being told through the Bible, and then he's able to lay out the verses so we can check it out through the Bible. But in the days of Noah, who else heard besides Noah? Who else knew anything about the flood or anything like that? They got the word from Noah. That's it. There was no other way of verifying it or checking it out. Is Noah a true prophet or is he not a true prophet? They would have to make that decision. And yet today we're much more blessed because we have the Bible, we have the verses that indicate when Judgment Day is coming. Now if we go to Psalm 19... I'll start reading in verse 7. The law of Jehovah is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What are those verses describing? What are they talking about? The Word of God. And we know if we would check out each word, the testimony, the statutes, the commandment, and the judgments, they're all synonyms. Just like in Psalm 119, if you read that psalm, it uses those same words, the statutes, the testimonies, the commandments, the law, the judgments of God. And they're all saying the same thing. They're all pointing to the Bible. And so when we read verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. That's the Bible. By the statutes, by the commandments, by the law, we are warned. And God is doing that today through the Bible. He's telling us of what he's about to do on Judgment Day. Let's just look at this one more verse in Mark 13. In Mark 13, it said, and this is a parallel chapter in Matthew 24, in verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. So God is really saying something strange, and unusual. Take no thought beforehand what you will speak. Do not premeditate in that hour what you will say. Why is that unusual? Why is that strange? Huh? Yeah, God says meditate. Premeditate's the same word here. When he says, neither do ye meditate, is basically what he's saying. Don't take forethought of what you're going to say in that hour. And everywhere else, God says, study to show yourself the proof. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. However, in one area, don't bother. Don't bother. In that hour, the hour of judgment, and if the theologians of the church would have listened to God, then we wouldn't have all these doctrines about the end of time, like the amillennial doctrine and the postmillennial and the premillennial and all those teachings. They didn't listen. They did premeditate. They did take thought about what all these things mean. And yet God had said to Daniel, seal up the word till the time of the end. Nobody will know, basically, is what he's saying. But here, God is saying, that's fine. I always want you to study. I always want you to be prepared to give an answer to anyone who would ask for the hope that's in you, except for that hour. Neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, for it is not ye or you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And that is where people don't get it. They don't get it. That, of course, God's going to open up the information to a man. To some man, had to be someone. And Mr. Camping sure qualifies, you know, as someone who's studied the Bible for 50, 60 years, you know, intensely. And God had to reveal to someone initially, just like any other field. How many diseases do you know were cured when 10 people came up with the same idea at once? How many inventions do you know were made when a dozen people suddenly had the same idea for the same invention? It doesn't work that way. It's one individual, a scientist or a doctor, that will information will be revealed, or he'll through study. God basically is in control of the world too, and the electronic medium opening up and all the inventions that have come, that's God's allowance. He kept it under wraps for most of history, but he allowed it now, and it's normally with one person, like Edison. And then everybody sees what he did, and they build on it, and then there can be further inventions. And the same way with God revealing truth, he revealed it to one who then shares it, and he gave him a big medium to share it with family radio, and then others begin to check it out. But people say, oh, you're listening to Camping. You're following family radio. And that's very disrespectful. Not to me, I could care less, or to the believer, but to God. That's very dishonoring to God, because he here takes full credit. He says, in that hour, that speak ye, so we're not to listen to people who would want us to shut up, you know, and be quiet. And God says in Isaiah, watchmen, hold not your peace. He tells us to keep blowing the trumpet. And here he's encouraging too. Yes, speak it, but know this, it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And, you know, we have to be careful when we read that kind of thing, because we know there's some people out there that they would like to jump at any opportunity to say that God's speaking to them. And it's just simply saying this. If we go over to 1 Corinthians 2, and in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And that's the Bible and its truths, its teachings. And verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's why the Bible says no man knows, and that's why we can say we know. Because the Father knew, and if it was his good pleasure, his will, to reveal it, as he's... And if God, at a certain point in history, wants to open up that information and share it, Well, who is anybody to fight against God? Who is anyone to say, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no. And, you know, those in the churches and congregations, I'm afraid, for the most part, have closed their eyes and shut their ears, and they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that the day is coming. They insist you can't know, and so they're, again, they're speaking back to God, and they're saying, oh no, God, oh no. This isn't so. Well, it goes on here in verse 13, which things also we speak. Just like it said in Mark 13, speak ye. Go ahead, declare them. Use your mouth. Share this information. Communicate with other men. So we speak it not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If May 21, 2011, all the studies that led to that date were based on a dream, forget it. You know, go relax. We wouldn't have a concern. It was based on some of the hermeneutics that are in the churches. You know, man-made hermeneutics that you have to look at the context of that day, and you look for the plain, literal statement. And if it was any of that, any of those kinds of things, don't worry about it. Don't worry. You can relax. May 21 would be like any other day. But what is the method that Family Radio, that Mr. Camping has used, and that other believers use in order to arrive at truth? Isn't it comparing spiritual with spiritual, scripture with scripture? Isn't that what we've done? And can't even people in the church listen to that and admit at least that that's the method of Family Radio? I mean, if not, then there sure is a lot of references. All right, let's go from this verse over to that verse. I mean, you can hear that all the time when you listen to the Bible study. And let's go from here. We find this word over there. And as we search out this word, it begins to be defined by the Bible. And God is saying, look, if someone comes and says, this is the Word of God, this is a teaching from the Bible, and they're following this method, scripture with scripture, and they're very careful to make sure it doesn't violate any other truth in the Bible, has to harmonize with everything, then the Holy Ghost teaches. That's God. God teaches. And that's why God says, let's go back to Mark 13 and look at that again in verse 11. But when they, and this is the time that we're in, the great tribulation, right near the end of the world. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. That's God. I have to keep saying that to remind us all. That's God speaking. And how do we know that Judgment Day is May 21? Well, you look in the book of Genesis. We read about the flood. We read that verse, yet 7 days. We go over to 2 Peter. God has the context of the flood and the end of the world. And right in the middle, he inserts the verse, one day shall be as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And then we realize, well, that when we go back to the statement to Noah, that we can substitute 1,000 years for a day. That actually, when you know the Bible, you know God does those kind of things all the time. He has his prophet Ezekiel lay on one side for 390 days and lay on the other side for 40 days. And he says each day is a year. And there's, and that's just a small example, there's many examples of how God does that in the Bible. And then there's all the other things about the timeline of history. Was that based on a dream? Is the biblical calendar of history based on a dream? The way people attack it, you would think it comes from the Bible. The Bible. You can see, you can follow it if people would take the time, and you can see exactly how perfectly it works out all through biblical history. And some just quickly say, oh, you're doing it wrong. Look at Usher. You're thousands of years off. We're thousands of years off. But as you start from creation and you work all the way down using the key that, you know, Kereshim and all the information we learned about through the book Adam Wynn, you follow that and it comes all the way down and it lands precisely on the date for Solomon, 930 or 931, that secular and biblical archaeologists say is the year either 930 or 31 that he died. But we're thousands of years off. How's that possible? How do you get thousands of years off and land exactly on the date that the most renowned archaeologists indicate is the date that Solomon died after a 40-year reign? How's that work? And by the way, Usher doesn't get to that date. He's decades off. And he's also off on the length of time Israel spent in Egypt, even though the Bible clearly says exactly how long they were in there for 430 years. And he's off on the flood occurring in 2600-something B.C. when the Mayan calendar was about 3112 B.C., when the Egyptian pyramids date back past 3000 B.C. But the churches and congregations believe that and hold to that. And nowhere can they pinpoint it to the secular calendar. And it's just a matter of ignorance, preferred ignorance. They don't want to know. They don't want to see that this is the day of judgment. And so they hold the things that they haven't even checked out, and they can't prove. And so here God is indicating, look, the calendar comes from the Bible. The key dates all through history come from the Bible. You can go from one point to another. Are time past biblical? Are they biblical? Can you go to the Bible to show a time path? People say, that's not right. You can't do that. You can't go from one date to another. What about the 70 weeks of Daniel 9? Doesn't God say in Daniel 9 that he... let me just quickly look at it. In verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. From the commandment to the Messiah. That's a time path. From one point to another point, and God gives the number of weeks, which just about, you know, any theologian who's worth anything realizes it has to do with years. They would admit that. And there is a time path in the Bible. So are time paths not biblical? Well, that's not true. That's not true. And there's others too. And, you know, we're following God's Word. The calendar comes from the Word. The key significant dates come from the Word, the Bible. And it's all Scripture with Scripture. There's nothing added. And the Holy Ghost is speaking. It's a dangerous thing. So many people are saying, well, this is of Satan. This is heresy. This is that, and the other thing. Well, very dishonoring. Extremely dishonoring to God, because He takes full responsibility. In that hour, it's not you that speak, it's going to be Him. Sorry, went on a little bit long. Anybody here have anything? Yes, Gary?
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Hey, Chris. Isaiah chapter 17, 13 and 14.
Isaiah 17 and verses 13 and 14, it says, let me begin in verse 12. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at evening tide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and a lot of them that rob us.
And Zechariah chapter 14, verse 7. And
Zechariah 14, 7.
Yeah.
And it shall be one day which shall be known to Jehovah, not day nor night, but shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light.
Is the evening time locked in, or is it still like from all we can gather in the Bible?
I think that it's correct. You know, that you're referring to Mr. Camping's recent studies that, especially with the account of Elijah against the 450 prophets of Baal, that and that does relate to the end of the world, because it's after the 3.5-year drought famine, and that 3.5 years ties into the Great Tribulation. So this is something that's happening after, or just as the drought is taking place, and then after, because there will be an abundance of rain. And I think the Isaiah 17 verse is referring to the progression of the earthquake across the world. And, you know, if people could get off the earth at that point in time, they would. They would get off. Remember in Revelation 18, they're standing afar off for fear of her torment. You know, people, it's funny, I think I was talking to my wife, and she was telling me in conversations, and people are coming up as she's handing out tracts, and even kids, they're mentioning 5 months of torment. You know, this information is getting out there, and the world knows May 21 is Judgment Day, and they're also hearing about 5 month period, and so when it begins on the other side of the world, those on this side of the world will be able to view it and immediately associate it with the 5 months. That's why they're standing afar off for fear of her torment. They realize this is it. It's beginning, just as the billboards said it would, or, you know, the track they read said it would, or as they listened to Mr. Camping on the radio. It's beginning, it's happening, and I think Isaiah 17 fits in with that. Now, Zechariah is hard, difficult verses there, so I don't really want to comment on that. Yes, Marie?
Acts chapter 17,
mm-hmm.
verse 31.
Okay, Acts 17. I'm going to back up here in verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all, in that he has raised him from the dead.
In Acts 28.
Acts 28.
Verses 23.
1 through 3.
Verses 23 and 31.
At Acts 28:23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came to him into his lodging to whom he expounded. Well, this is Paul in Rome, and notice that they appointed the day. So it's not referring to God's appointed day. It's the Jews in Rome that have set a day because they heard about the sect of Christianity, but they didn't hear anything bad concerning Paul. And so they gave him an audience, and he went, and he did preach to them. Some believed, and some believed not, and then they reason amongst themselves. That's a dangerous thing to do. You know, it's when someone's in the church and they're hearing this, and others in the church don't believe it, like the pastor and the elder and the deacon, and you're reasoning with them, you're continuing to discuss these things with them, well, it's good possibility you're going to stay right there, because they, you know, that's how these things work, unless for God's grace.
Okay, I had two questions, but most likely you answer one. So I was going to ask, how do those verses relate to the end time?
The ones in Acts?
Yeah, the one in Acts 17, verse 31, and also 28, verse 31. Also, verse 31.
Of Acts 17?
So, yes. No, Acts 28, verse 31. So you answered the first part of my question.
Okay.
And
you know, in Acts 17, God speaks of man involved with idolatry, and he winked at it in the sense that people lived and died with their idols, and they could have had an enjoyable life in many ways. But now, see, God has activated this command at this time. But now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that's exactly what all the whole message of Judgment Day is doing. It's going out there, and, you know, it's greatly implied that we're sinners. That's why there is a Judgment Day. And God is merciful. We can repent. Like the Ninevites, so they heard a message of judgment, yet in response, they were led to repent, and God spared them. So now, God has always had this day, May 21, in mind. Now he's just telling us that appointed day. He didn't write a verse that says May 21 will be Judgment Day, but he sealed it up until this time.
Okay. How about Acts 28, verse 31?
Acts 28, 31. Verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. This is the final act of the apostles. Right? It's the book of Acts. And apostles means sent ones. And God leaves the Acts of the Apostles, the last statement in the book, it's like an open door for 2 whole years. Remember a while back, seems like not too long ago, we were discussing 2 years before the earthquake and trying to understand what did God mean by that. And we have noticed that this door of utterance, the great and effectual door in the world, has increased greatly over, especially I'd say, the last 6 months, year. But, you know, there's that open door that the believers who are the sent ones into the world have, and that's where the Acts of the Apostles concludes, right? We're almost there. At the end of the Great Tribulation, May 21, the latter rain concludes. And so our task is done. And I think that's why this verse is written that way. Hi, Leslie.
Happy Easter, Chris. I was going to say, being that it's Easter and all that, you know, I was thinking about what does the Bible say about Christ being raised up and the Pharisees had to pay the soldiers some money. This was like in the last part of the Gospel of John. They had to pay the soldiers some money to claim that they stole the body. And all that, you know. So I was wondering, you know, what this is all about, you know.
Well, yeah, it's in Matthew 28, the last few verses. Verse 63, the Pharisees went to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And it didn't do any good because Christ rose from the dead and he came out of the tomb. And so this is man trying to prevent God's word really from being fulfilled. And man can't do it. It's futile. All the attempts that people make to fight against the word of God, that no one can do it. And so Christ rose. But remember, that was 33 A.D.,
yeah.
Sunday,
yeah.
Early in the morning, he rose from the dead. But that wasn't the first time, because in Romans chapter 1, it says, in verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So Jesus is declared to be the Son through or via the resurrection of the dead. And yet he enters into the world as the Son. As the Son, he created the world, it says in Hebrews 1. And that means he rose from the dead before the world began. And he died as the Lamb. He was resurrected. And then when he entered into history in 33 A.D., he was just showing, you know, demonstrating what he had already done.
Also, one question is, Thomas, who was a doubter, he
yeah.
doubted, and you know, before he died, he says, unless I see the things in his hands and his feet and all that stuff, I will not believe. And I was wondering, like, you know, why come he, how come he wanted to see Christ? How come he just didn't believe?
What's the reason? Because they didn't see him.
Yeah.
Why don't people believe May 21 is Judgment Day? Yeah. Why not? They can't. It's not here. They don't see it. Why didn't the people before the flood believe Noah?
Yeah.
Couldn't see it. You know, the world operates on a physical level. And yeah, they'll believe the hurricane warning because they know that that's all physical, and the weather people have instruments that can track these things. And so they hear the warning, the hurricane's coming for their town, and they quick, as fast as anything. They don't care about fear-mongering then. they don't care about fear-mongering, that you're scaring their children then, because they understand, hey, I'm in danger,
yeah.
And so is my family, and I got to get out of here quick.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, when we say May 21, 2011 is Judgment Day, remember what it said of Noah?
Yeah.
who's a good example of what's happening today. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He didn't see any flood. It wasn't raining. The people of the world didn't see it either. But Noah, by faith, knew it. He knew it was true. He trusted it. He acted upon it. And due to that, he and his family were saved. They were spared by God's grace. And it's the same thing today. Most people, the overwhelming majority of people, are going to do nothing about May 21. They're not going to do a thing. They're going to continue trying to say, hey, I'll see you on May 22nd. Well, you know, how do you do that? You go up to May 20, and then you kind of do a spin and a leap over May 21 into May 22nd? Is that how you do it? Is that how you're gonna get around Judgment Day? You're going to get around May 21? It's a date on a calendar. Nobody can avoid a date on the calendar. You have to go through it. And I was just on this radio show, and when I got on, he said, now tell me, first thing, tell me on May 22nd, when that comes, what are you going to say? You know, a lot of people ask that, and I normally say, well, look, it's not possible. It's not going to come. For about 10 minutes, he kept saying, no, what are you going to do on May 22nd? Again, it's the only thing he would say. Just, what are you going to do? He didn't want to talk about May 21. He didn't want to discuss that. He just wanted to focus on May 22nd. And that's very typical of man. Now, God says this date, circle it, May 21. And man says another date. You know, that's the nature of men. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right. He wanted to see it or he wouldn't believe it. You know, Doubting Thomas. What state has that saying? Missouri, is it? Show me state. Show me state. And that's a pretty accurate description of people. And that's why on May 21, when people see it, then they give, you know, they're fearing God. They're going to be humble and bow down, the Bible indicates. All those things are good today, at this time. That's a good response. On May 22nd, it doesn't matter. It's a wrong response. Because now's the time, and not after the fact. Okay, let's stop here. We'll take a 5-10 minute break. Let's close just quickly with a word of prayer. Dear Father, once again we thank you for this day, Sunday, a holy day, and a day that has been a blessing for your people in all generations. And Father, especially now when we realize there's only three more, four counting this, and then no more Sabbath day, well, in the sense of where salvation is possible, no more sending forth of the gospel, the resurrection will mean nothing to the inhabitants of the world that are left behind. Father, we pray that you would use this day all over the earth to bless your word through the gospel as people are hearing it on the radio in every land. And we do pray that you would save and draw many to you. And may you bless your people that are out there sharing the gospel in other countries, in China or Malaysia, in Africa, in South America, in Europe. We ask you would bless the team that went over to Poland, Germany, and Czech, and the caravan that's here at home in Chicago. We pray you would bless them and have mercy on the people there. And Father, we ask that for your guidance to continue to lead us as the path is being illuminated to heaven itself. Help us to stay on that narrow way that only you can bring us through. And Father, we pray we would trust you with all of our heart, and that we would lean upon you and follow you right out of this world and into heaven. And Father, we thank you for the Bible, which is that guide that does show us which way to go. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.